Things that are happening. Amen. Let's stand, please. If you will, I want to read a verse again from 1 Peter. I was thinking along one line, and actually I kind of planned on Brother. It's going another way, and Brother Andrew was to preach tonight, and then this afternoon, about 2:30 or so, he said, no, I'm not going to be able to do it. So I talked to the Lord and was looking at some things and which way to go. And a verse of Scripture here, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. I want to share a little bit, maybe of a, well, it's not different, it's just a simple message, but particularly maybe at this time of year, I want to share something with you tonight on jumping for joy. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I want to talk to you about jumping for joy. Could you say amen to God's word? And you're not doing that now, but I hope by maybe the end of the message you would. Amen. You won't hurt my feelings if you do. I can tell you that right now. You're allowed to shout and praise God in this church. That's acceptable behavior, I believe, in the house of God. It is comely for the upright to praise God. And it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Why I chose that title, very simple thing. You know, I really think about in this world, particularly how the various things that people get ecstatic over. And there's a lot of things. But most oftentimes, they're carnal things. Folks go to a ball game or they go to a race, a car race, or some kind of sporting event. And I tell you, folks will do all kinds of crazy things. But when their team scores a touchdown or scores a goal or kicks the ball into the goal, I mean to tell you, 4,000 or 5,000 people, it's like you just put an electric shocker into them and they just come up out of there jumping for joy and elated over something so simple, if you can, and really, in the sense of the course of the world's events and the course of affecting a person's life, really insignificant. I mean, how significant is it that a basketball goes to a hoop when it really comes down to the course of the society and really improving that society and what it is? Pretty insignificant. But nonetheless, folks will do that. You go to a concert and there'll be all kinds of singers, and various, whether it be country, rock, whatever, even sometimes gospel, whatever it may be, and you'll strike a note and the people will, I mean, they'll stand there jumping up and down if they can even just touch the person that's on stage. I mean, to wave a handkerchief at them, just to get them to reach down and to touch them, to touch that handkerchief. I mean, they would just about think that they've reached the climax of life if they can hold on to an old snotty hanky, if you will, that's been touched by some rock star or some country music star. I mean, when you really think about how significant is that to life, and yet it will cause people to jump for joy. Right. And you can talk about a lot of other things. Folks get rich, they win the lottery, they win the celebrity sweepstakes. I'm telling you right now, if they go to the casino and they win big, I will want you to know folks will hear about what is taking place in their life, and they will jump and leap for joy, ecstatic. And there's just a lot of things that can spark an emotion in people that can stir them so that they go beyond just a sense of cheerfulness and joy and happiness, and where they begin to become ecstatic, and they shout, and they jump, and they holler, and they hoop, or whatever it is, they shout how glad they are and delighted they are over what is taking place in their life. Now, I use that phraseology because I want to turn to what makes us Christians jump for joy. And it's not down at the ball or the racetrack or the ball diamond or at the rock concert, or we certainly shouldn't be. We are not praying to God that nobody in this church is playing the lottery or whatever, but if you are, you're in a heap of trouble. But nevertheless, we're not at the casinos, and we don't find our thrills there. We're not at the horse track, betting on the horses that go down the lane, and those aren't the places that you and I would find our thrills. But there is something that makes us jump for joy. Glory to God. And I want to share something about that. You'll notice in this passage, and I want to get where I get that phrase from, and notice in, first of all, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, he talked about how we rejoice in our salvation, wherein you greatly rejoice. This greatly rejoices, again, one word, and it's this idea, literally, of having exceeding joy, of jumping for joy. place where it gets too commonplace. If we get to the place in this church, we take it for granted. But we don't want to appreciate and learn and preaching of God's word. It doesn't mean anything to us. God don't let you go to the gospel, my friend. God may let you go without for a while. I don't want to do that. I don't want to take for granted the anointing and preaching of God's word. God give us men who can come and deliver the truth. And the light can shine upon our path. And we can rejoice and people tonight that we give the right honor to be in a church service like you're in right now. I'm telling you, if they can gather and have people of this nature, have the talent, have the singing, and never to come. I tell you, couldn't keep it outside the door. I know a family, a commercial family in Mexico right now. I'm telling you, they just about give anything. If they can be here in an old-fashioned service like they were used to having, oh, it would mean so much to them. You and I got to keep the fire going, church. We got to learn to rejoice in the word of God and the preaching of truth and light. The second thing is this. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, if you'll turn there, please. Luke, chapter 1, and verse 46. This is prophecy by Mary. After the Lord has come, the angel has come and told her that she would be pregnant. She would get pregnant by the Spirit of God. And she took off from her cousin Elizabeth's house. Went over there, and she came in the door, and John jumped in the womb of Elizabeth. And Mary, who was already been touched by the Holy Spirit, said this in verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Here, her spirit rejoices. That spirit has jumped for joy. I'll tell you, it'd be pretty tough for your insides to jump for joy and us not see some evidence of it on the outside. Amen. She said, "My Lord, my spirit's rejoiced in God my Savior. Why? For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." This little girl, this little young maiden girl in Nazareth, something has happened to her that will never happen to any other woman on the face of the earth. She has been chosen out of all womanhood, of all humanity. This young lady in Nazareth has been chosen for a specific task in the kingdom of God. She is to give birth and be the mother of the Son of God. She is to raise God in the flesh. She is to have an influence upon Israel. She will give birth to him and bring him into the world. I want to tell you, when God fulfills a promise and does something special like that in your life, it'll make you jump for joy. It'll make you shout praise God. Why shouldn't this woman rejoice? Why shouldn't her spirit not just jump out of her skin? Because God has done something mighty, and from here forth, she said, "Generations shall call me blessed." But that's the glory of the gospel. And Mary and Joseph, two people, the world would have never known of them. Had it been a couple growing up in Nazareth, the world would have never known this woman's name, and it had nothing to do with history. But when God touches, when the Son of God comes into that life, her name is lifted up above all others, and now her name is mentioned as part of the story of the gospel, and that is the power of what happens when God fulfills his word. The idea of the fulfillment of a promise, and she said, "God's done this to me, he's chosen me." But the larger picture is he's did this to help Israel, to keep his promise to Abraham and to his seed. God has done this for us. He's scattered the proud, he's brought down them that are high, he's filled the hungry, he's put the mighty down. Look what God has done. He has looked all through history, he has waited, and then he's found this little lonely girl in Nazareth. He has waited until a time when every man, those great women, that maybe he could have picked, and some that had God's names, and you could think about it, whether it would have been, he picked a queen somewhere who was married to King, and he picked someone who was more of notoriety. But no, that's the way God does it. He still takes nobodies and makes somebodies out of them. He still takes a nothing and makes something out of them by his mighty hand. And I'm telling you this, God has kept his word. He has fulfilled his promise. Jesus said, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day." He saw it and was glad. When God fulfills the promise, it becomes a season of rejoicing and giving glory to God Almighty. We've got some promises around here that I believe we're due soon to collect them. I believe that with all my heart. I feel it coming. I feel it coming. Please don't let up. Don't let up in prayer. Don't let up and give up on seeking God. Just keep on seeking the Lord, church. Because when that promise is what we need, when God heals, when God touches us, when we see them coming in, after it, you went out to witness and we see them come and give their lives to God. It's God keeping the promise that he gave to this church some years ago. I'm going to give you a harvest, he said. He told us we'd see signs and wonders. And I'm here to tell you, God always keeps his word. Hallelujah. And when he gives us that promise, oh, my God, we're going to shout. I don't say we're crazy. It's about being crazy. We don't look at it. Folks don't think the world's crazy when they rejoice on the things they do. But what it is different things make us tick. Different things make us happy. And what makes us happy is when God shows himself strong in the half of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. When the weak have been put down, when the nobodies are exalted, when God takes something, when nothing and makes something, it makes us happy. Hallelujah. And we rejoice in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we don't leap for joy. Because we're number one, we're not looking to collect on that promise. The word don't stir us like it needs to stir us anymore. We don't jump for joy. When God touches again, we get a vision for that promise. When God touches, we have a heart for that word. And I will tell you, in this church, yes, I want God to do it. I want us to be a people who get excited over the things of God. I want us to be a people who are not afraid of jumping or shouting or letting it be known how happy we are because of what God's done for us. I tell you something, God, when God brings another dumb cheering, if this church don't jump and shout and run, we got a big problem. I'm telling you, we're not worthy of the promise being fulfilled. And that's where we're in express. When you pray for hours, when you sought the Lord for months, these people have stressed for years. It's been 4,000 years. Get out of Mary's way. And let her prophesy. Get out of her way. And let her shout and praise God, because finally the promise has come. And let God be glorified. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be unto us when God does mighty things. That's what she said. She says, "The Lord, he that is mighty, has done great things to me." Hallelujah. He's done great things to me. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. Along with that, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse 20, Jesus said, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." Here, he talked about not rejoicing. That word rejoice in that first verse there, and it's just that ordinary word of being cheerful and having joy. No good smile on your face. Just a contented disposition. But when the Bible said, "Then Jesus rejoiced in spirit," I'm going to tell you, our Lord was a happy camper. Hallelujah. Our Lord was a happy man. Yes, sir. He was a man of delight. He was a man of emotion. He was a man that would be stirred. He was a man that could take a scourge and drive folks from the temple. He's a man that could do things, and people would come to him. And people ask me the reason of the hope that I have within me. But that answer sometimes may not always be some kind of theological, some sort of what we might call a theological answer, or some great intellectual response. I really got stirred this past weekend, Sunday evening, going home, and I got on the internet and I was looking on YouTube a little bit, some debates between Christians and between atheists.
Preacher's turn for a while, and he goes and Paul preaches to his house, and that night I knew he was still talking.
we just think about how good it is to be saved. Don't take me the wrong way, but sometimes we've been saved too long. We've just lost it. We've lost what it was. I don't mean that in the sense, no, we need to be saved. It's just been too far from that initial time when God brought us out of death and gave us life. And that's why we've got to see new converts, because it reminds us of when God saved us. That's why we've got to be had fresh birth in the kingdom of God, because it reminds us of what he brought us from in that wonderful hour when we knew the power of God and we rejoiced in the happening in Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Peter 1, verse 8, the verse I read as my text. From having not seen you love. Isn't that amazing? We love an invisible God. Yeah, right. But please let it know that that's the extent of it in terms of having not seen. No. But because just because we haven't seen doesn't mean we haven't experienced him. Right. Doesn't mean we haven't felt him. Yeah. It doesn't mean that we haven't heard him. It's because the sense of sight has not been awakened or aroused in terms of our experience with God. The sense of touch, at least in the inward man and even the outward man at times. I'm telling you, I got times where I felt a hand laid on my shoulder and there wasn't a soul in the room. Woo, come on now. Yes, sir. I bet sometimes you feel a touch of God. I mean, you just feel a physical touch of God in your body. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I can tell you my ear has heard him. Not in the sense of physical, but I have tasted it, that the Lord is gracious in that inward man. I will tell you that. Oh, I haven't smelled anything in sense of an aroma, but the sweet sense of his presence has been a spiritual thing to me. But beyond that, let it be known, yes, I haven't seen him, but I love him. And the Bible says that though we see him not, yet believe it, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Notice it goes back. Whom have you not seen you love? In whom? And then there's a parenthesis. Well, now you see him not yet believing. In whom? Take the bone now. You see him not yet believing. Just take that out for a moment. And it's this. In whom you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. In whom we rejoice. We rejoice. We shout with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm going to tell you something. In Jesus we rejoice. We can take that in a couple ways. Number one, in the person of Jesus Christ. You know what excites us? The very person of Jesus Christ. Just thinking about him. Get a vision of him coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you know that robe. And that robe has been dipped in blood. And down the side of that robe. And then he's got the tunic underneath of it. And going down the side of it. And then as you see the tunic,
little fish sardine like things. It takes that little biscuit in your mouth and breaks that
No atheist can ever know that kind of joy. Yeah, right. I've got a champion. And I will tell you something. We need a champion.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, that's why folks are caught up with sports. Because our nature and our creative order and constitution is such that we need somebody who's out there in the front, who's making headwaters, doing great things. And tonight our champion is Jesus. He's the general of this army who's riding out in front all the time. And at the storm, anytime the Stonewall Jackson, his men seem like they're beat down. They're fearful. Bullets are flying all around. And he's on that horse. And he's out in front. He goes right out in front. And bullets whizzing all around his head. But he has no fear of death. He raises that saber and says, come on, men, let's go. And those men are in despair. Those men are in fear. All of a sudden, they got a champion. They got a leader. They got somebody that's fearless. They got somebody with courage. They got somebody that'll be an example. Who'll get out in front and say, follow me. I'm telling you, we got to have it. We got it in Jesus Christ. He is the King of glory. He is the King of glory. Open up the gates and let the Lord come in. Hallelujah. Go back to the Lamb of God. Got to have a champion. Not only do we rejoice in him and who he is, but it's in him that we rejoice. That's my place. That's where I live. I don't do my rejoicing so much in the world. I'm not talking here about physical location. The reason that world, they can come in and get excited about a bunch of junky adult movies, because I'm not in that mess. But tell me about something along this time. I get a call, I talk to the powers, and says, good things are happening, and a church is moving. I go for somewhere, people got saved, we just had a miracle. I'm telling you, that's enough. That'd make me happy. Oh, that's something to rejoice about. Glory to God. I'm happy, I'm thrilled for that. I'm happy to know that. When a brother got his breast and then his knee, when the God went to do a Sunday morning, when a financial tax and miracle, they take a $4,000 bill and climb to a $400,000 bill and knock it down to $19,000. I call that a hand of God, and I say, you take rid of the terrible rest of his will. And what you do is in him. It's there in Christ. That's where I live, that's where I dwell, and that's where I do my rejoicing. Hallelujah. Matthew 5:11. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you. I'm going to tell you something. This is one we got to grow in, church. This is one we got to grow in. We have gotten so used to the mindset. We've been inundated with this mindset that somehow that we should never have a negative word spoken about our church. That somehow when we live our life as a Christian, that we should always say everything in such a way that nobody can say anything back to us, and everything would just, everybody would just look at us and never be offended at us. That is not Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. I want you to look at the kind of action that's taken against people simply, he said, for my name's sake, simply because they're Christians. And they're not doing what they've done, and that is, they're just Christians. And he said that they'll revile you. They'll charge you. They'll rail on you. They'll persecute you. That word persecute really means to pursue. They'll chase you down. They'll go after you as a hound dog on a rabbit. And I'm telling you, this sinful, wicked, sodomite movement in America is aggressively, militantly chasing us down. Persecuting us. And then they'll say all manner of evil against you falsely. Oh, they'll tell lies on you. They'll look at you and say, oh, you're some weirdo, you're a fanatic. You're a danger, you're a threat to the societal peace of America. And whatever it may be, but I'm telling you, what he said to do, rejoice. Self-conscious, and we just get mad and upset at those who mock us and those who upset at us and are angry with us, and we lose our cool. And we stomp off, revealing the same attitude that they've got. I'm going to tell you something we've got to learn to grow in. If this church is going to be a church that preaches truth, we're going to experience hatred. We're going to experience anger. We're going to experience malice. Amen. I'm telling you, we're going to experience this coming. Respect is being lost for the houses of worship, for people of God. We may see him come by here, the bricks may come flying through the window. What are we going to do? We're going to jump up and get mad. We're going to jump up and grab a gun and shoot somebody. What are we going to do? We're going to jump up. I'm talking about protecting ourselves. If the Lord leads us and someone threatens our life and God gives us leeway to protect ourselves, then let us do that. That's okay. I'm not opposed to that. But if our response is anger, if there's no self-control, if there's no sense of God, what do you want me to do? What am I going to do in this situation? I'm telling you, God will protect you. You're just not protectable. I believe in self-defense. You know how I feel. I'm not opposed to that. People just want to come and rob for the sake of robbing. That's different. I'm talking about suffering for his name's sake. I'm not about people doing something to you just because you're a Christian. Not because they want your money. It's not because you just happen to be there. It's because they hate what you stand for. They hate the one that you love. They hate the one that saves you. And they're going to vent. They're venting at you. How are you going to respond? God says, I'll tell you what to do. Jump up and shout. Jump up and raise your hands and give a glory shout and a hallelujah roar, because God will give you a great reward in heaven. We got to get there. We got to get there. We are not going to be allowed to respond in anger to those who are angry at us. We are not going to be able to get in people's face when they get in our face. We are not going to be able to have a spirit of retaliation when they are coming at us because of what we are preaching and what we are living. Again, I'm not talking about you just in the store and some goofy, crazy guy's coming through and someone just wants to rape and plunder and murder simply because they're eat up with lust and they don't know who you are and you just happen to be a human being in their path, and knock them out if you have to. I don't know what. Take them out. If God, pray for God to give you the strength of Samson and curl them up and throw them over your head if it takes it. I'm not opposed to that. And I'm talking about, for my name's sake, Jesus said, for the name of Jesus Christ said, when they're there and you preach the gospel and they look at you and their face is red and they're mad at you, not because you've said anything ugly, not because you've been unloving or unkind, it's simply because you preach the truth of the gospel. Hallelujah. Oh, can we be like those early apostles when our backs are still stinging from the rod that come across it and they go back and look at everybody with a for which we were kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice. And that's in the context of an inheritance that's laid out. A salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. And then we look, when that time comes in Revelation 19 and 7, and we see that same word, rejoice. Let us be glad and rejoice. Let us be glad and jump for joy and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Woo! Glory to the Lamb of God. Oh, I'm telling you right now. Oh, it ought to excite us. Anytime a message on the second coming of Christ can't stir any more than a little old amen. We got something wrong somewhere. We need God to touch us deeply again, because the time has come. I mean, let the earth rejoice. When the king comes back, he has destroyed the Antichrist and its armies. It's been dark. I mean, before he comes back to the earth, it's been dark for a third of the day. I'm telling you, when those lights of the sun is turned out, when the moon is turned out, when the stars are turned out, I'm telling you, the cold that must take place during the 8 hours of those days. And when the sun comes back on, but in the middle of that dark hour, when the sun is dark and the Lord comes back and he lights up this planet with his presence, he destroys the armies of the Antichrist. And I'm telling you right now, he sets up his kingdom. Riders increase. Health begins to reach throughout the land. The land begins to experience a healing. He set his feet on the Mount of Olives, and he's made a valley. And there's a river runs, and it goes to the Mediterranean Sea, and it goes to the South Sea, and it heals them up, and the fish can live again. The worms will fill the air. The evil will be gone. The devil will be locked in the bottomless pit. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to make you get happy and shout for joy, because God is coming back to this planet. Hallelujah. But old men and women can walk at 2 o'clock in the morning in the middle of the most metropolitan area in the world, and they can walk down the street without a fear of being mugged. People can lay their head down on a pillow, and the front door can be left wide open. The keys can be left in the car, and the car running. Hallelujah. There can be a bear sleeping on the front porch, and a wolf sleeping in the backyard, and nobody will be afraid. The child can get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and walk down the backyard and fall upon a snake and never get bit. Come on now. I'm talking about a time when the Lord is coming back, when a salvation is waiting for us. We've got a hold of something that's done more than forgiving our sins. We've got the hope of eternal life. We've got the joy of God. We've got the Lord of glory. We've got eternal life. It's ours, and it's ours forever. We're not just looking to go to some place in the sky forever away and leave this planet to the heretics and heathens and blasphemers. No, sir. The King of Glory is coming back, and he's going to get them. He's going to reach out and send his holy angels to that holy earth, and they're going to get out of the thing that offends. Two in the field, and plowing, one taken and one left. Other places, two on the housetop, one taken, one left, one at the meal, one taken, and one left. Where two, the Bible said. Oh, where the eagles are gathered together, a few are the ones that are being taken. In that case, the ones that are taken are those that are wicked, and they're taken over there. They've got two people working at a meal in the garden. One of them is a believer, and one's an unbeliever. And he grabs an unbeliever, the holy angel does, and he picks him up, and he takes him over there. And all the carcasses of all those people that have been slain by the Lord in the battle of Armageddon, there they will be slaughtered. There they will be laid to rest. There they will be dead. And the buzzards and the vultures will come and eat their flesh and drink their blood. Oh, that sounds gross. No, I think it sounds great. I say sin will be gone, and the Lord of glory will raise us up, and righteousness and peace will fill this land. Amen. Some atheist wants to stand and tell me, why can't we just get everybody together in a room and sit down on a table and just agree that killing is bad? Amen. The reason you know it's bad is God put it in you when you were born. That thing was born in you. Those 10 commandments were written in you from the beginning. I said, this thing's been going on. I think one of the greatest arguments against evolution is just that the very law of science is against it. Evolution says everything is coming and proving its state of existence. It's just like it. Being a man's a lot better than being a monkey. I mean, which one of you here tonight would prefer to be a monkey rather than a man? I mean, let's just be honest. Why not? I'd rather be a man than a lizard any day of the week. So evolution says it's all getting better. Got a problem. I don't look around me and see a state of improvement. I see degradation and regression, not progress. I see man getting greater, I see man getting more wicked. Greed is still mastering the lives of men. Money is still the god of this world. Men are serving mammon and wealth all over. I'm telling you, say, oh, we got technology. I'm telling you that modern medicine is not keeping up with the pace of disease. Disease is going more rapid than modern medicine. You can't put enough money into the system to fix what's broken, because that money will not fix it. I will tell you, an injection will not fix it. A chemical is not the answer to the problem in the world. It's a moral problem. And the only way it's going to be fixed is a moral man comes and ministers righteousness and justice upon this earth. Let it be done. Oh, I don't think we should shout at that. I will shout any day when the right is exalted and the wrong is prevailed, when the low is lifted up and the high are dethroned. I will shout every time when that happens. I don't want folks to go to hell. I don't want folks to turn against God. But when you give them the gospel, and you reject it, and you preach it, and you turn their hearts away, they have shown themselves to be unfit for God's society. We've got to this place that we think the God of the Old Testament is somehow different than the God of the New Testament. We think, what kind of God put his son and down the cross, cool wrath like that? I'll tell you what kind of God do that. Kind of God that loves you. Well, why do they do something else? Because nothing else would save you, that's why. Well, just hang people over hell for 10 minutes. You can hang over hell for 10 minutes, and you can't reach, and you're right back where you were. Because if your heart ain't right, you ain't going to live right. If you don't love God in your heart, he can hang you and make you fearful, but when the fear is gone, you go back to your lust. You go back to your wicked ways. You're incorrigible, and nothing God can do. So he took that wrath, and he took that judgment, and he put it on his son. Oh, he put it on his son. That's why Calvary's so wretched. That's why Calvary's so terrible. It is terrible. It's wretched. But I tell you how that springs of hope. Oh, when that blood hits the ground, how that springs of life. Glory to the Lamb of God. It's not the end of the story. He came out of the grave, and he rose again, and he's coming back. 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 And I will rejoice. Can you see tonight? Each of these situations I've given you this evening, in your Christian experience, have you ever got so much joy that it just thrilled you beyond measure? Not everybody's different. I'm not asking you to be like me or anybody else for that matter. But you're human. There's nothing wrong with this world seeing us filled with the light over these things. Anyone understand it? But you know what? You can cause and ask the question, and we can answer and tell them, because there's hope that's in us. Holy Ghost, glory on my supper of mine. I'm just a believer. This thing is such that when you went through, when the light of God shines on your path, and only preacher did all this time, I've seen quiet folks. They may not get up and jump, I'm telling you. You can see the face light. But stoicism, no. Blank look, never. Know something. When the word of God on the spirit, when God fulfills a promise, when we see somebody saved, we see somebody filled with the Holy Ghost, we see somebody healed, it is not an occasion for us to say, well, that was really nice, we'll put that in the newspaper. That's really nice, brother, we're really happy for you. Okay, let's go, let's go talk about what's going on in the world. No, I'm telling you, it ought to cause this place to feel with leaping people, jumping and shouting, hallelujah, and praising God. You may not have it in you to run around the church. If you do run, if you don't, but surely there'll be a, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah, praise the Lord, why? Oh, how about it when you see God take something so simple? Si corre la jata, la jata.